So in light of the calendar method that we use, which is again the luminary calendar based on the book of First Enoch, the book of Jubilees, and the Bible, we're meeting today to observe Yom Kippur, while some of our brethren are will be holding it the next week. Some of them have even held it earlier than we have. So let's pray. Let's continue to pray for that Elohim, patiently, lovingly pray that Elohim unites our minds so we could all be together. So today we're going to be looking at the Day of Atonement in terms of final judgment. But and to do that, we're going to look through some of the old covenant scriptures in the Torah and a few in the prophets to see what exactly is the Day of Atonement and hope and consider the final judgment aspect of it. Okay? And of course we'll be looking into some of the new covenant application of the Day of Atonement also for us as believers. What does it mean for us? Okay, so let's begin by looking at a portion of in the book of Leviticus chapter 16. We won't read the whole thing, but we just want to touch base on some point. So the Day of Atonement, the word that's used for atonement is the Hebrew word kapar or kaper, transliterated as K-A-P-A-R, kapar or kapar, and it's the Hebrew word in the Strong's Concordance 3722, which means expiate, pardon, reconcile, purge, and so on. That's what that word means. Okay, in context of chapter 16 of Leviticus, Vayikra, chapter 16. So what is the Day of Atonement? According to the Leviticus chapter 16, verses 1 through 5, and verses 29 to 34, these are first covenant books, right, of the law in Leviticus. It is the single appointed time, the single moedim per year, when only the high priest could enter within the veil before the mercy seat located on the ark in the Holy of Holies to make atonements, not just atonement, but atonements, because there are three major things that needs atonement. The first is the priest needs to offer atonement for himself and his family. And you find this in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 11 to 12. And secondly, there needs to be atonement made for the tabernacle and the holy place or sanctuary. That's found in Leviticus 16, verses 15 through 18. And then for the entire congregation, the people, the priest needs to make atonement for them too. That's found in Leviticus 16, verses 20 to 22, and Leviticus 16, 24 to 25. Let's go back a little bit. Let's look at the atonement for the high priest. Let's look at verses 1 through 5. What is the Day of Atonement? In verses 1 through 5 of Leviticus chapter 16, it says, "And the Eternal spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Eternal and they died." So that's what happened. They had offered strange fire, as we read, as known as in the early chapters indicate, and they died. So Elohim, in verse 2, tells them, "You're not to come at all times there, because I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat," as shown in verse 2. And he goes in verses 3 and 4, tells him exactly how he shall come in, how he must prepare himself to come in, that he is to come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. So there are two offerings that will be killed. A bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. And he must come properly dressed with the holy garments, and that he must wash his flesh. And actually, before putting them on, he has to wash his flesh and then put them on. So he had to make careful, specific preparations. And then he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. Okay? And so that's the preparation. Those are the steps he must take. Why? That he doesn't die, as we will see, like his unfortunate two sons before he did. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his entire house, his entire family. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Eternal at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So mind you, he offers, before he does anything, he has to offer this sin offering, this bullock for a sin offering, for himself, the young bullock. Then, with it, make an atonement for himself and for his house. After that, so after all his sins, all his whatever faults, uncleanliness has been taken care for, putting on the holy garment, bathing himself, putting on the holy garments, offering this bullock for himself, then he is permitted to take the two goats and present them before the Eternal, Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron before, and so that means he has a witness. He's in front of the tabernacle. He's not inside the tabernacle. He's outside in front of the tabernacle of the congregation, where the congregation can see. And so he casts lots in verse 8. One is for La Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, or sometimes called La Adonai, for the Eternal. And the other is for La Azazel, or some is for Azazel. La Azazel, commonly referred to as the scapegoat, but that's just a traditional translation. It's for La Azazel. In verse 8, and Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Eternal's lot fell, the La Adonai fell, or La Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, for Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the La'ad for La'azazel shall be presented alive before the Eternal to make an atonement with him and to let him go into the wilderness. Okay, so the atonement comes from the La'azazel goat also. Okay, so then we said, so then that's made, so the atonement for Aaron was made by the bullock. That's what made the atonement. Then we read about the atonement for the tabernacle and the sanctuary. And Aaron, verse 11, Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, which we read before in the prior verse. And he shall take a censer full of the burning coals of fire off the altar in his hands with incense, and bring it within the veil. So now he's going into the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Eternal, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. Tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments that were put in there. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Eternal, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat. And he shall take the blood and sprinkle it over the mercy seat seven times. Okay? Then, all this has to do with making atonement for himself. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people. So he makes the atonement for the people, and the people by the goat for the sin offering. This he shall do the same thing with the blood that he did with the bullock. That's described in verses 11 to 14. And he shall make atonement for the tabernacle and the holy place. Why? Because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. So atonement needed to be made for Aaron, for the high priest. Atonement needed to be made for the tabernacle and for the holy place itself. And during that time, no one is to be there except the high priest, as stated in verse 17. Then we read about the atonement for the people. As we've mentioned, there are these three things: atonement for the priest, atonement for the tabernacle and the holy place, and then atonement for the people. The atonement for the people, as found in verse 20 to 22, and when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat, the goat that is La'azazel, the goat that the lot fell for Azazel, that's that goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the La'azazel goat, and then shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. Send him away. And as we read in the accounts of 1 Enoch, I believe around chapter one of the chapters speaks about Azazel and all his servants being captured and bound and put away somewhere in a wilderness and buried, chained up, and other angels that sin transgressed during the days of Noah before the flood, they too were bound and put away. So somehow the Day of Atonement is tied to all of this. I don't fully understand it, but we know Azazel was one of these angels that had transgressed and was bound and put away in the wilderness. So the sins of all Israel are confessed upon this assigned to Azazel by lot, and is put there to represent. It's not an offering to Azazel, as someone thought, but it's actually pointing out that Azazel is a major cause for the sins of mankind, for the sins of Israel. And so this live goat, not killed, not offered, is sent away into the wilderness by the hands of a fit man. Literally had to be carried into the wilderness. That's why it had to be a suitable person to do this. Verse 22 says, and that goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities into a land not inhabited. He shall let go. He shall carry the goat into the wilderness. The fit man shall do that. And that's part of how the atonement was made. That the adversary who created the problem must be accused, must be shown to be the cause of these sins. Because remember, these sins, everyone that's here alive on the Day of Atonement, were people not killed. These are all people who have not committed adultery, who have not broken the Sabbath, who did not do the sins that require death. Because there's no atonement in the law for those type of sins. Anyone who committed adultery, who committed murder, who committed any of the sins that required death would not be here on the Day of Atonement. The only people on the Day of Atonement are those people that were not accused, that were not put to death for those sins. Okay? So these type of sins of error, sins of ignorance were the type of sins that were being covered here in the Day of Atonement. We have to really understand that. Adultery is not covered here. Murder is not covered here. Sabbath breaking is not covered here. These sins could not be atoned for by in the Day of Atonement. There are no adulterers here in this place. No idolaters, no such thing here. It was sins committed by ignorance, those type of sins. And also sins not punishable by death, like theft. If somebody stole to preserve his family, you know, those type of things, they would not be killed. They would have to pay back what they stole, but they would not be killed. So these people would be here and have their sins placed upon this Azazel goat and let go. Then Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation and shall put off the linen garments. He shall take off his priestly garments. Then he shall baptize his body or wash his flesh in the holy place and put on his garments and come forth. Now, he's not doing this with the holy garments. You understand? He's coming. He only puts on the garments, holy garments, to go into the holy place. That's where he put. Now, he takes them off. And what is he going to do now? And he comes forth and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people and make an atonement for himself and for the people. So that's what he does. And verse 26, so the person also that carried the La'azazel goat, the live goat, into the wilderness, before he could come back into the camp, he had to wash his clothes, bathe his flesh, and then would be allowed to come back into the congregation. Okay, so, and then the goat, the bullock, the body of the bullock, the body for the sin offering, and the goat for the sin offering, what happened to them? They were taken outside the camp to be burnt. They were not burnt within the tabernacle. They were taken outside the camp. It says, and the bullock for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought into to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp. And they shall burn in the fire their skins, their flesh, and their offal, that is their feces, outside the camp, not in the tabernacle. And the person that burned them shall wash his clothes, bathe his flesh in water, and after that be allowed to enter into the congregation. It's very interesting to think about that. That people had to make themselves unclean in order to provide atonement for the congregation and everyone else. The priest had to make himself unclean. And then, right, he had to make himself unclean for the sake of the people. The fit person had to make himself unclean for the sake of the people. And the one who went and burnt them outside the congregation had to make himself unclean for the sake of the people. How do we know that? Because they had to bathe their clothes and themselves before they could come back. So what is the purpose of this? Verse 29 tells us that this shall be a statute forever unto you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls, your inner beings, and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourns among you. The Day of Atonement is a day that is to be observed by all Israel. Those who are born Israelite, native born, and those who are by association, by being a sojourner, meaning you're traveling, you've become a part, you're a Gentile joining Israel, they must all afflict their souls. What does that affliction of the soul mean? It's repentance. It's deep remorse. Repentance, deep remorse. And it's expressing that deep remorse, yes, through fasting. Even though it doesn't say it here, but we have to read the entire scriptures to know how this is done. So the affliction of the soul is not affliction of the body. It's affliction of the soul. If they don't afflict their souls, even if they're there, they will not be forgiven. I want us to understand. It's something I didn't understand myself until I was praying. What does it mean to afflict the soul? Wait a minute. It's not beating my body. It's my inner being. My inner being has to be afflicted. And who knows the inner being? Only Elohim. And he will forgive. So they, if somebody came and just did a physical act, whatever, it didn't necessarily mean they were there presently, but their souls were not afflicted, they would not be forgiven. They have to afflict their souls. They have to have the Psalms 51 experience, a broken and a contrite heart. They have to understand what it means. And that could only happen when they love Elohim. When they love Elohim and could say, wow, we have done all of our, look at all of our sins that we've done. We afflict ourselves. We've come before a shamefacedness, as Daniel said when in captivity, praying for the people, interceding for the people, shamefacedness. He said, to us be confusion of face. To us. So the heart must be broken even there. That's why it says, you shall afflict your souls. And the prophecy in Zechariah chapter 8 gives insight that you did need to fast. Let's quickly turn to Zechariah chapter 8. I thank my brother Felix for helping me find that reference earlier. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 8. I'm trying to find that real quick. Zechariah is after Zephaniah, I believe. Yes. So Zechariah chapter 8 says... Chapter 8, verses 18 to 21 says, and the word of the Eternal of hosts came unto me, saying, thus says the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, he who is the, thus saith the Eternal of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth month, and the fast of the seventh month, and the fast of the tenth month, refers to them as fasts, right? The seventh month, Yom Kippur, that's the one that's of the seventh month, shall become times of joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love the truth and peace. Okay? So it's to show you that in those times, the fast of the 10th month, the 5th month, 4th month, 7th month, these are all times that were designed for people to mourn and to fast over certain situations. And in the 7th month, it was the time you would afflict your soul for your sins and fast to receive atonement. And atonement means purging, and in expiation, it also means reconciliation. So you're just not forgiven, but there's a reconciliation that takes place. Let's go back a little bit here. So we see in the book of Leviticus how important it was that we have the right attitude to receive forgiveness. Even in the first covenant, the old covenant required people to repent. You didn't just show up. And the old covenant did not allow you forgiveness, atonement for all sins. Only some sins. Only the non-death sentence sins. All the death sentence sins, there's no one that with a death sentence sin, again, that's on the Day of Atonement. They would have all died if they were caught. And those people that were not caught, Elohim says, I will seek you them out myself. And he takes care of them himself, right? So that's the Day of Atonement concerning the law. And in the prophets, we see that one day these feasts would become feasts of joy. Therefore, love truth, it says, right? Love truth and righteousness. So now let's look at the new covenant for a little bit. We know that our Savior was crucified for us to take away our sins. When did that happen? Did that happen on the Day of Atonement? No. It happened during the month of Aviv. He was captured during the time of Passover and outside Jerusalem, he was crucified in an unclean place, contrasting that with the lamb burnt outside, and their ashes, I didn't read that part, but their ashes were put in a clean place. Right? Yeshua was killed at Golgotha. He died a miserable death for us, as we sang that song, "Who hath believed our report?" Right? Who hath believed from Isaiah 53 how he would suffer for us? Who would believe this report to make an atonement for us? He died during the first month, the month of Aviv, the first in the spring season of Aviv. That's when he died for us, not in the seventh month. And also the Passover, as if you're not aware, is not a sin offering. What is going on? Yeshua died. He did not die during the seventh month. He died where the sin offering was made for atonement and for forgiveness of sin and reconciliation. That happened in the seventh month in the law. Yet Messiah died at the right time in the spring. Spring. And the Passover sacrifice is not a sin offering. It's not. So what is going on? Well, let's see what's going on in the book of Hebrews. And let me stop this here as part one so we could continue part two briefly.